Blog Talk Radio.
Can measure to come to you this morning. My name, this is a new voice to you, huh? I am excited to join the Atlanta Life Radio family. They welcomed me with open arms. My name is Reggie Hammond, and I am going to be bringing you, as a part of this new year, a new show. And the beauty of this opportunity to talk to you is in that it connects with something I do all day, every day. Our show is called Finding Your Forte. And more explicitly, I am seriously committed and all in on a mission to get our world on purpose and allow our world to experience its impact. So I have been at this professionally for almost 6 years. Many around me that have had the opportunity to connect with me and work with me and partner with me on this mission will say that I've been at it all my life. And so today we're going to kick off what I think is a pretty amazing endeavor. God is clearly up to something. And we're going to allow ourselves to be a vessel to use them to connect us with purpose in our business and our careers. You heard before I came on a song that I am elated to share. The artist and her team have agreed for it to be part of our show. That was the amazing voice of Shante Kan. And Shante, I have been quietly a fan of for some years now. And if you, like me, are a music aficionado, then you may have, particularly here in the Atlanta market, you may have heard Shante's voice. It is definitely distinguishable. So a little bit about me. I grew up around music. I played trombone since sixth grade, played some piano here and there, played in band through high school and college, and have always been a deep music enthusiast. And so, you know, I have a deep collection. Music is, you know, deeply in all my pores and everything I do. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when I tell you about the venture I started to do this. I say all of that to say that it's kind of a big deal when an artist stands out to me in such a profound way. So this song is called Free Your Dreams, and I actually have a practice I encourage everybody else to do, and that is I have a soundtrack. I have a playlist, if you will, of songs that motivate me. And this is one of my favorite songs from that playlist. It's called Free Your Dreams. The artist is Shante Kan. I think her voice is beautiful. It's almost as if, like, when it's one of those whispery, airy voices, almost as like it's a human flute. And so I just want to send a special shout out and acknowledgement to a very good friend, Craig Garrett, who was able to connect me to her team. And we got it done. We got her to agree to have her song be the introduction. And it could not be more appropriate. So I would strongly encourage you, if you enjoyed the song, and you'll be able to hear it in its entirety at the end of the show, to give it a listen. Go on iTunes and download it. And her most recent album is Journey to Golden. I heard the song when she performed it as a part of the Snarky Puppy collection, which is another jazz artist that that did an album to feature other artists. But enough about my over-the-top enthusiasm for music and uber fanship of Shantae. I do want to make sure we get that started. So who is this guy you're listening to? So a little bit of an introduction myself. So I'm Reggie Hammond, as I mentioned, and I'm really committed to this mission to get the world on purpose. I think that many of our world's ills can be traced back to people that are not and have not had the opportunity to operate in purpose. And when you have an absence of meaning and intent and being deliberate about what you're doing, then you are in a place that may feel hopeless, or you might not be fulfilled by what you're doing, or you are barely surviving. And so a lot of the work that I do with clients, and I'll share with you more about that, but a lot of the work that I do with clients is in a lot of ways inviting them to the conversation to free themselves, to see themselves as valuable enough to be intentional about themselves, and to bring to the surface their most optimal contributions through these elements that we will call passions, gifts and strengths, motivations, that we then plug into purpose and use that to bring about the impact that you're called to make. I am of the belief that we are, each and every one of us is uniquely made with a purpose, and we've been given the gifts to do it. And it's not often that people are intentional enough and value themselves enough to tap into that. So that's what I do. I go around helping people do that, whether it's as casual as an Uber ride into the office or as intense as working with a startup to go after a market that they want to be the foremost authority in the world, and all the shades of gray in between. So enough about me, and I am even more excited to bring to you one of my very best friends, and it's a relationship that started professionally and then has just taken on all kinds of dimensions that I'm eager to share with you. Is one of the most interesting men that you'll ever meet. I consider it a blessing and an honor to know him. Absolutely stand-up guy, somebody that you would want to have in your circle, and many of the people that know him will attest to that. A very good friend. His name is Jawanza Watt. Jawanza, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, how are you?
I am very well. Happy to be here.
Are you okay today? I'm gonna start in on some things that I did not warn Jawanza that I would. He probably had a pretty festive evening last night. I will avoid the temptation to make this a sports show, as I'm sure neither Jawanza and I would mind. But he and I have been talking all season long about college football, and as you know, the season came to an end last night. So we could try to avoid this elephant in the room, Jawanza, and tiptoe around it, or we could just go ahead and address it and get it out of the way. So how you feel about it?
You know
that?
What? A lot of people would hate me if I said the good guys won. So I'll go without saying that.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that I think there are so many people that you're either an Alabama fan and you have been obnoxious for so long that you've lost friends through this process. And so I could absolutely see why someone might say the good guys won. But we won't dwell on that.
Two remarkable teams. Two remarkable teams.
Oh, my God. What an absolutely remarkable game. Yeah, okay. Linda's going to fire us if we don't move on. But so we better operate and make sure that we stay close.
We were just operating in our passion there for a moment.
But absolutely. You know what? That gives us another 20 minutes of license, Juwanza, to talk about the game. Okay.
That's right.
But there's so many places I could start this conversation with Juwanza, but I chose to do this with a post. And, you know, as you might imagine with friends, you're also Facebook friends. And I recently saw Juwanza does a post often, but so he's like the, you know, in social media land, I would consider him, he's the what speak silently and carry a big stick. And so he recently wrote a post that made me stop and reflect, and he had actually done that. So I'm going to start our conversation, and I'm going to share that post with you, and then I'm going to give Juwanza an opportunity to tell us kind of where he was when he shared this post. So he shared this post on Christmas, and his post said, "Merry Christmas. 2016 has been a great year for our family. Name change from Neurodeen back to Watt, celebrated 15 years at AT&T, 15 years of marriage, 8 years of owning the posh spot, Jaden's acting, Dylan's pitching, Bryson's singing, looking forward to another blessed year. Hashtag thankful." Man, that's awesome. Come on, Toronto, tell us about that.
So there's a lot in that, Reggie, but I think I could summarize it by saying that it's really a reflection of how 2016 was a big year for me and our family, an acknowledgement of my kids and some of the things that we discovered about them, whether it be pitching or acting or singing, things that we just didn't know, gifts we didn't know that they had, and by introducing various things to them in the variety of life, you learn different things, and that was a big one for us. And then several milestones for us. I've been at AT&T for 15 years, which really coincides almost exactly with my wedding date. And so 15 years with my wife, Dawn. And then we took on owning a business about 8 years ago and going on 9 years now. And
yeah,
that's been going well also. So acknowledgement of a big year for us.
That's outstanding. I have to definitely I've had the opportunity to send and or talk to women that have gone to your spa, and it is quite the experience, the posh spot. So I would definitely encourage listeners in the Atlanta area to go check the spa out. You know, as with all things, I'm a fan of. Family businesses. This is a venture that Juwanza and his wife Dawn, both who are both individually and collectively good friends of mine, and they have put together a beautiful offering at the Posh Spot. So it's been really encouraging and awe-inspiring to watch that business continue to flourish. But I kind of dove in and, you know, kind of shove a mic in Juwanza's face and ask them to share that reflection. For me, that was really powerful and compelling because in a lot of ways it captures many of the dimensions that I've come to know Juwanza. So, you know, but I have to kind of take a back, Juwanza, to the the original dimension in which we met. So, and I think it, in a lot of ways, is a microcosm of what we have come to, you know, be today in our, you know, in our business and our careers. So, you know, a little bit about my background. I came up in management consulting. I worked for 12 years for the illustrious Accenture global management consulting firm. I had the absolute time of my life doing consulting. I highly recommend management consulting, both Accenture and management consulting, as an amazing place to start a career. And then after 12 years, I left to join a firm out of Charlotte, and they wanted to open an Atlanta office. So one of the former guys that I'd worked with at Accenture, TJ Felice, asked me to open the Atlanta office. And, you know, looking on the outlook of my career, I really wanted the opportunity to lead and to develop, you know, kind of business development capability. So I signed on, not really knowing what the endeavor under which I was about to take, but part of what was going to determine my success was going to be set based on tapping into my own personal network and be able to add the dimension of making it a professional network. You know, many of the people that I know, you know, people give me a hard time all the time. They say, Reggie, you know everyone. And it's close to true. I feel like I have to. I often say I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know him. So I had, once we started the Atlanta office, one of my really good friends, and at the time, mentee, although I will say that he has eclipsed me now with his own professional aspirations and pursuits, and he's doing a remarkable thing in the world, Kenny Pugh. So Kenny Pugh is a good friend that Juwanza and I shared. He introduced us to each other. And having the opportunity to meet Juwanza, we had the opportunity to bring our services to bear in the role that he was doing at AT&T. And so for the beginning of our relationship, it was really a client and consultant relationship that we shared. And, you know, if you know anything about either Juwanza or I, you know that it was absolutely focused on delivering business performance results. We had projects that allowed us to build a team, and, you know, something that's absolutely remarkable is that should have been around 2006 in a lot of cases. Some of those resources are still in place. And so that's been the start of our relationship. And since that time, I've had the opportunity, you know, Juwanza has been beautifully supportive of the endeavors and the shifts and the focuses of the work that I've done over the years. And I've had the opportunity to work with him through Your Crescendo, both on his own personal pursuit that we'll talk about here shortly, but he's also partnered with me to help me with other clients in their pursuits as well. So, as I mentioned, when I began to introduce Juwanza, the dimensions that our relationship has taken on is probably what adds the color to it, and I'm elated and honored to be able to call my friend.
I agree, Reggie. We're big supporters of the work that you do, and I would say we're also recipients of the work.
Yeah, you do so enthusiastically. We've had opportunities to work on some other people, some other clients' work. One of the things that I really backdoor principle, if you will, is that as I want, you know, purpose to start to spread and go viral amongst our network. And so oftentimes I look for opportunities to, like, when I'm working with somebody and we find a lane that it feels like it's pursuit of their own personal purpose and their own North Star, I look for opportunities to plug that into sometimes just advisory or coaching, other times hardcore business relationships and consulting and, you know, professional services to plug that into other people's purpose. And Juwanza was really helpful with another client that we were doing some work with that lined up with his own passions and his experience. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But Juwanza has, you know, professionally been around for a while. He is currently the director, one of the executives at AT&T. I think formerly your role as directors and operations management. Can you share a little bit about the work that you're doing at AT&T?
I'm in our billing operations, and a lot of the work that I do involves the integration of DirecTV into our operations at AT&T.
Okay. And having just – I'm a gadget geek. That's another thing about me, right? I just got an iPad Pro, and my iPad Pro, I had to install DirecTV in order to get the shared data plan.
So I did it, and I am
a customer of DirecTV. That was a really threatening voice you just kind of came at me with, like as if I didn't get DirecTV, like this call was going to end or something. Like, what's that about?
lots of great deals out there right now with DirecTV and AT&T, and the integration of the two companies is really making for some remarkable offerings in the marketplace.
Okay.
So you're doing the right thing, Reggie.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad I could meet your approval. And you know what you might not know about Juwanz is he is kind of an engineer by trade. You know, that's been his undergraduate and graduate pursuits. He did undergraduate at Florida State University, and then he got his master's in industrial engineering at Georgia Tech here in Atlanta. So
that's right.
That's part of schools. The Right, two great schools, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's part of the elephant in the room that we avoided was this huge fight he wants to have about ACC, the ACC being a dominant conference, and wah, wah, wah.
We won't talk about it.
but you know where to find me when you're ready to have that conversation.
Right.
But what I will say is one of the things that I found as a highlight of our time knowing each other and working together was watching you step into the excitement of your passions and purpose, and specifically watching you emerge as a speaker. I personally know that you've been, like, I've known for some time through Dawn that you've been speaking for years, and, you know, it might be a good idea to share with our listeners some of the organizations, the things that you've got going on that have given you the opportunity. But I got a chance to see that up close, and I got to share a story, a couple of them. So the first time I saw Juwanz in the zone is what we'll call it. Juwanz was really generous in helping another friend and client and colleague. Her name is Brenda Fannin, and she was starting kind of a talent agency for emerging millennials in technology called the Global Launchpad. And so, you know, Juwanz, because of his experience in leadership development amongst millennials, high school, college age, young men, and he's really passionate about that. He was, you know, really helpful in helping us kind of message what the Global Launchpad was about. So we used to have these Shark Tanks, and we called them Shark Tanks just because we would invite other professionals in and allow them to throw tomatoes at the business model that we're framing up. So we have this one particular Shark Tank, and we've got some of Atlanta's crown jewel companies represented there. And Brenda, of course, it's her venture, and, you know, she shared her perspectives with the passion you might expect from that. And, of course, I have been working on this with Brenda for you know, what was at the time going on a year, and so I shared my perspective. And then up walks Juwanz. And Juwanz then plugs in a way in delivering this message that it will be hard for me to tell you exactly how this happened, but I'll just tell you the outcome. So at the end of the Shark Tank, you know, just like the show, they pass the mic and have people share their perspectives. And one of Brenda's closest friends, who was also an executive at the CDC said, and I'll never remember this because it was a very humbling comment. She said, Brenda, Reggie, you guys are okay, but from now on, let Juwanza do all the talking. And I have the video of this talk that he went into around, and frankly, it's a topic that's it's even grown even more relevant around how to engage millennials, particularly within technology organizations. And so I say all of that to say, Juwanza's a scene stealer. A scene stealer, I should say. Like, if you bring him,
you're being gracious.
If you bring him into your show, if you bring him into your event, you just have to prepare. You know, you have to prepare for a little lost sign, because he's definitely going to be prepared. He's definitely he's going to be highly effective as an orator. It's really his gift, and so I share that experience mostly to be able to say, since that time, we've been able to take that to the next level. So last year this time, we hosted the first of an inaugural – well, we had our inaugural of what is now two. This year will be the second, an on-purpose conference. And I share that with all of you to encourage you to go take a look and find get information on the on-purpose conference. We're about to host it next Friday, so the Friday after King Day, we'll be hosting it at Ventana's, January the 20th. If you want more information about the conference, you can go to 2017onpurpose.eventbrite.com. But when we launched it last year, we basically, the idea behind the conference was, I had a number of clients who were aspiring speakers, and if you're in that space, it's really difficult to kind of get plug that passion in a meaningful way, particularly if you work somewhere full time. So I wanted to create this outlet that allowed them to share their story and pursue and purpose, and to be able to kind of stand up or grow their brand as a speaker. And I can say, having had that experience last year, we had some of our most amazing and memorable comments came, one, from the speakers that attendees had the opportunity to experience last year, but namely and specifically the talk that Juwanza delivered last year. Juwanza, what was it like to go through that experience? I would imagine it was surreal in some ways, but there were some things that were particular about it that I'd love to be able to share with folks that are listening in.
Well, the conference was amazing, and I would encourage anyone who can next Friday to come out and join us. Absolutely amazing. But the lead up to the conference, Reggie, is where I really acknowledge you and your crescendo. The training to help me identify what my passions were, what my purpose is, and ultimately start to rehearse that through the preparation sessions that we had for that speech and those speeches were very enlightening, very rewarding, and it made for a very remarkable transformation for me in the past year, from really not being totally connected with my purpose, but being aware of my passions. To then taking those two things and really merging them together and being very upfront about them, whether that be at work or in my personal life. And so that conference was a manifestation of all of that for me, where I was able to, for the first time, come out and deliver a 10-minute speech with no notes. And just through the rehearsal and through my passion and through my thinking and through my practice, was able to deliver that, and I really felt rewarded as a result of it.
You know, there's so much that's so rich, Juwanza, and I think it would be a really good idea if you don't mind, if we can dive into that a bit more and unpack it to talk about the experience of first the discovery of that, and then the putting action behind it in terms of prepare for this conference, and then some of the things that you've been able to do. That, like, you know, the whole, you know, that path of going from unawareness about what it is you're called to do, and but you kind of know what you love to do, you know what you're good at, and you know what drives you to the, but the experience of going through and being intentional about that, and then putting together a game plan to do it, and then activating on that game plan, I feel like is the difference maker for a number of our friends and colleagues. And
absolutely.
And I really do think it would be a good idea for us to spend some more time talking about, like, what that experience was like for you. So if you don't mind, I want to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll pick back up there. I've got a couple of things that I think will help bring that conversation to color. But for now, let's take a little break, and then reconvene here shortly. Okay.
Executive Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of individuals who have made the decision to live their life in purpose, such as Meet the Minimalists, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields with Less Stuff to a More Meaningful Life. And also another article, Up Close and Personal, with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your copy today at uptomemagazine.com. And what's your story? And now we return back to our program. Reggie?
Thanks, Mel D. So parts of our experience today, you all will, just in all transparency, I'm the rookie on the block in the Atlanta Life Radio, and one of the things I wanted to share was I want to have the opportunity to engage over social media for people that are tuning in to the show. So I'd like if you'd like to send us questions or share comments, I'd like to use the hashtag Forte Show, Forte Show, on whatever social media channel you choose to use. But I'm going to go back and spend a little bit more time, as long as Juwanza doesn't mind being a little bit more transparent with us. But I think there's a really valuable opportunity to unpack his own personal pursuit of purpose. And one of the things that I think is a really effective way, you know, I'm coming from the business performance world and being really focused on results. You know, I believe you get what you measure, right? And one of the things that we use, and especially around things that are on the surface, maybe softer or more less tangible, such as the pursuit of purpose, I think it's important to give, you know, to put a number on it. So we do pulse checks often with clients, and I'm going to ask Juwanza to share his own. So we're going to take his pulse here on three things that I feel like are important to be able to know where you are in your path to pursuit of purpose. So the three things I'm going to ask Juwanza as a part of this pulse check are going to be first. The first question is, are you aware of, have you discovered your purpose? And are you clear on it on a scale of 1 to 10? And then the second one is, do you have a plan for pursuing your purpose? Again, on a scale of 1 to 10. And then finally, Do you feel like you are in execution of that plan? So do you have a purpose? Do you have a plan for that purpose? And are you in execution of it? So, Juwanza, on that first one, do you feel like
yes.
You have discovered it? And to what degree, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say you are in terms of awareness of your purpose?
9.
You're at 9. That's outstanding.
Yes.
Okay, say more.
So in a lot of the work that I've done with you, Reggie, I've come to realize that my purpose really involves legacy and working with people and individuals to understand their work legacy, their personal legacy, and really legacy is defined as something that's transmitted or handed down from a predecessor. And we often think of legacy as being a will, something you leave behind for your children, but reality is our legacy is something that we build on every day. It involves all the intangible impacts that we have through our relationships, and every day we add to or take away from our legacy. And really understanding and knowing what you desire your legacy to be helps you walk through this life in a very purposeful way. So for me, my purpose is to connect people with their legacy.
That's outstanding, and I feel that's been a really powerful and impactful message. I happen to be on the inside track of knowing you delivering that message, and I've been able to see firsthand the power of people connecting it. How about the second pulse check? So do you feel like you have a plan for execution of your purpose on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm at a 5 right now.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's the 4 minus? What's left?
It's growing and it's more.
Okay.
And for me, it's really understanding how I can take my purpose and weave it into all of the places that I'm at in life, and move
okay.
to new places. And
okay.
you know, oftentimes when people identify their purpose, they often think that it involves a big leap and a disconnect from where you are and a connection with something else. And I don't think that's always the case.
You're absolutely
oftentimes,
right. Yes.
Oftentimes your purpose, oftentimes you're in a place where you can operate in your purpose. Almost
you're
always you're
right.
in that place. And so weaving that purpose into where you are is the big opportunity. And I think I've made quite a few strides in that. And I think I've got further to go. You know, I'll dive just a little bit deeper into that. One of the things that I've realized recently over the last year in working at AT&T is that it's very important for me to bring my passions and my purpose into my workplace. And for many years, I kind of separated the two, especially when it comes to passions. And one of the things that in working with you, Reggie, I've discovered, your passions are often going to lead to where your purpose is. And so knowing what your passions are helps you with discovering that purpose. And for me, there are passions I have. In fact, Reggie, you and I kind of gravitated several times towards it in this call, watching sports, right? That's a passion, right? Other passions for me, and the big one that we've been talking about is public speaking, right? Well, I have other passions, but just those two things as an example, they're important things to me. And they're almost part of my toolkit. And when I go to work at AT&T, if I don't bring those key parts of my toolkit, I'm not operating in my fullest, right? There's a couple tools that I've got that are assets for me that I left behind. And so it's important that I bring them with me. And so last year was an example at AT&T where I was able to identify ways in my current role to start doing some public speaking and some speaking at some of our resource groups within AT&T and doing more and talking about sports, because those are part of my tools and part of what I'm passionate about. And so they don't have to take away from what I do at AT&T. And in fact, it's the opposite. They enhance what I do. They enhance my capability. They enhance the connections that I make with other people in the company. So I found that knowing your purpose and bringing them into the place you are today is an amazing thing you can do. And when I said I'm a five, it means I have so much more to do in that space.
Wow. Wow, wow. As you might imagine, I am uncontrollably excited to hear you share that because you are absolutely right. And that the very thing you're talking about now is the thing that I feel like absolutely unlocks people from where they are. Getting from a going from a place of having assets that you're not engaging to a purpose, even where you are. One of the greatest myths about the pursuit of purpose is that people feel like they're signing up to go join the Peace Corps. Like if something, right. Like if we have this conversation about what it's been called to do, that, you know, having a job can't be purposeful or working at a particular company can't be on your purpose. What you often find is that the best opportunities to live purpose are in your current team, are in your current organization. It's a place you already have a brand, you already have tools and assets that they'll find valuable, and just the experience of being deliberate and intentional about those tools not only unlocks your purpose, but you then have the opportunity to experience, unlock the impact and purpose of others. I want to continue down this path, and we come back and finish the pulse check tomorrow if we need to. But on this particular path, this is a illustration of the importance of this. So now, now that you're in a place where you're aware of this message you have around living your legacy, and you have the opportunities to take that message, every time you share that message with someone is unlocking their own purpose, their own reason for being, that they are called to live a legacy. And once you realize that you're not just some random, meaningless being operating on this earth in a way, just kind of going through the motions and living life, once you realize that you have a legacy to be held accountable to, and to operate in honor of, and particularly for the audiences that you talk to, in a lot of ways, I know through our work that you're more passionate about delivering that message to men and the head of families and the opportunity to be able to build and grow thriving families by addressing men and their awareness and connectedness to legacy is an amazing, amazing platform that can take you to all corners of the earth to deliver this platform. All too often, kind of like we started the conversation at the beginning of the show, all too often you see beautifully talented, let's take your passions around sports. So you see beautifully talented athletes that are not conscious about the value of their gifts, whether they are, you know, that they don't get a chance to show up in their sports, or they feel like they're, you know, singularly focused on athletics. You have an opportunity to remind them of their legacy, then can allow them to avoid some of life's distractions that would take them off course. And we read the newspaper, we tune in to ESPN, we see these stories time and time again, and you just sit there in frustration, like, don't you get what you have? And how could you not honor that? Like, how could you allow that to be a distraction? And it's not just with athletes. We see that in our professional walks. We see that with colleagues. Folks that, you know, do amazingly short-sighted tactics at work, you know, creating organizational turmoil that in a lot of cases is simply a symptom of a reflection of them not knowing what it is they're called to do until they'll do anything.
Right.
And I think that is really one of the most powerful things that we can take away from this is that if everyone were to take the, you know, the simple gesture to understand your gifts enough to know how to engage them where you are as step one to pursuing purpose, then our world is so much better already on that really simple thing. So let's just finish the post check. I appreciate you sharing that because I think that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. Third post check is, like, do you feel like you are in execution of your purpose on a scale of 1 to 10?
Execution, yeah, I think I'm at a 2 right now on execution.
Okay.
There's a lot more to do. For me and my purpose, when you really look at, you know, helping people connect with their legacy and taking that a step deeper, Reggie, where you mentioned functional families, that's very important for me and a passion for me, and discovering the new places to go with that, there's a lot of opportunity there.
That's really powerful. I think that, you know, again, if you don't mind us using you as an example to illustrate some of the things that we see as powerful concepts. You know, one of the illustrations I've been using recently, and I'm a huge fan of really good analogies. One of my problems is I don't stick to one, but, like, the one that really speaks to me now is the notion that of purpose as a prism, and that, like, the things that you have to contribute that go into this prism allow this prism to then expand this white light into all the brilliant colors that it can use to have impact. And so let's go through the prism with you. Let's go through what those things you are to. So I'll share what we've discovered, and we can kind of bring it to color around those three elements that are the input to your prism around your gifts and strengths, your passions, and your motivations. Now, through our work, we came to learn, or at least clearly identify and inventory your passions around youth and family, particularly young men, leadership and achievement, dads and accountability, which is huge, and then raising sons.
Yeah.
You're also passionate around fairness and sports and travel and culture, and then teaching and speaking, and we've had the opportunity to see those passions come to the surface.
Absolutely. You nailed it, and I know where you're going, Reggie, because those parts of the prism are so instrumental in really being able to define not just your purpose, but how do you execute against it.
Exactly. I would argue, though, that you don't know where I'm going.
Okay.
Because I have a little something here for you.
Okay.
So I had a partner in crime prepare me for this moment. I don't know. Have you seen the little thing that's going around social media now where a parent takes a kid and asks these questions without prompting or without coaching?
I just commented on that from somebody over the weekend. I was so impressed. There were 14 questions, and I was so impressed to see the kids' responses and her posting it. So, yes, I have seen that.
Oh, yeah. And you're raising sons, right? Can you tell us about your sons?
I have three boys, Jaden, Dylan, Bryson. They are ages 12, 10, and 9, respectively.
Okay.
No, you
didn't.
They
have a mother, right? Yes, I did.
No,
they have a mother,
right?
No, you didn't. I mean, I feel it's relevant.
No, you didn't.
I feel it's relevant. Be happy I didn't bring the video. It's hysterical, all right? But I have a partner in crime. So high five, girl. High five. You rock this one. Okay, so let's play Kick Juwanza around a little bit with his legacy and his sons he's raising. Let's see what they think about their dad. So some of these questions are actually really good, and I don't think you're going to be terrible. Some of these are pretty funny, though. The first question is, what is something I do a lot? I got to make this special note. And watching you all raise these boys, I feel like you now are at a place where you're where you're starting to see them take on individual paths, where they just kind of before now been like the three amigos, and they're now mm-hmm. starting to take on their own individual personas. Am I reading too much
yes.
into kind of what's happening?
No,
okay.
that's very true, and that's sort of the acknowledgement in the Facebook post that you started the show with.
That's what I thought I saw. So in true form, Don acknowledging that had them individually record their responses to this.
Okay.
So what is something that you do a lot? They said, coach, golf and spending time with me and my brothers and sleep.
Okay.
Those were the things that you do a lot. And then when asked what makes you happy, they said, when we obey, when
yes.
we do something special for him, and watching football or basketball. And then when asked what makes you sad, they said, getting injured, like having to stay home. And when we don't mm-hmm. obey, and
mm-hmm.
stuff that comes up in life, like surgery. Now, one of the things that, you know, Juwanza is really colorful and illustrative in this conversation, but Juwanza, you had I don't want to share too much, but Juwanza had an emergency surgery this past weekend to remove his appendix.
Yes.
You know, that's correct. Yeah.
Yes.
How's your recovery going? I've lifted that in prayer, so I've had, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. How's your recovery going?
Prayers answered. The procedure went real well, and fortunately we caught it before it ruptured. And come to find out, I have no need for my appendix, and nor do you or anybody else as an adult. And so I discovered that, I guess you could say, the hard way. They removed it, and I'm now good and recovering.
Oh, that's outstanding. I'm prayerful for that.
Yes.
And elated to know that you were able to make it through that. There was a moment in which I was thinking, is this still okay for us to do this show? He's going to be a couple of days away from a surgery. And I will tell you that Atlanta Life Radio and Mel D were impressed beyond words that you're still here.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah. So one of the things that the boys also shared that I thought was hysterical. So you might want to break out the marks on the wall so that your kids know how tall you are.
Okay.
When asked how tall you are, one said you were 5'9". The other said that you were 5'1". And then you had a 5.6 centimeters.
Oh, I know who did that. Well, you know, it doesn't help at all when people ask me my height and I tell them I'm 5'12". So I understand the confusion.
You're probably messing them up. You're messing them up.
Right.
Well, they all three responded. They all knew how old you are, that you're 42. And they all said that your favorite thing to do was being with family and watching football and basketball.
Okay.
And then I took a personal point of guilt, because at least two of them, when asked if you could go anywhere, where would it be? At least two of them clearly acknowledged that it would be South Africa. And the reason I'm taking some personal
guilt is
because I have been –
I know.
Active on our plan to go.
Yes.
So,
yes, you have.
So more to come there.
Yes.
And then they asked, and then about your favorite show. No surprises there. It's ESPN, but there is a little bit of a wild card there. Another favorite show is The Simpsons. That's you?
I have no idea where that came from. I have not watched The Simpsons since college, and even then I don't know that I watch much of it.
Well, I found that was really exciting to get these responses, and I will share the others with you. So now I'm glad to have saw that you saw them elsewhere, so that you can get these. Again, Don, high five! Thank you for allowing me to haze ones in that way.
Right.
And with that, I think that's a great segue to kind of as we start to wrap up, I would love to hear, you know, what's next with you. And we had a chance to talk early last week about some phenomenal things that you have going on with your fraternity.
Yes.
Which is not my fraternity, so arguably it's not a fraternity, but I will give you the space and time to acknowledge it or whatever it is you all do. But please put it in context, though, for us in terms of, like, what's next for you.
You brought it up, so I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, and I do take a lot of pride in the work that I do with the organization, as well as the benefits that I receive from being connected to a lot of like-minded men, and the leadership training that I'm able to execute through that organization is amazing. And I dedicate a lot of time to helping young men connect with their legacy and where they need to go in life. And we do that through a leadership forum that I lead every year, a week-long program called Lead Kappa. And I take a lot of pride in that, in the work that we do there. So thanks for bringing that up. And to answer the broader question, where else to go with it, I think in the short term, I'm really spending a lot of time in this space of authenticity and being authentic. And it really, particularly in my workplace and my surroundings, being authentic. And being authentic at work really means, for me, being able to bring all of the tools that I have to the workplace and being able to bring those things out of the people that I lead and the people that I work with. And that's part of my development of legacy and sort of the gathering of data as it pertains to legacy, so that I can enrich my knowledge and understanding of people and their approach to their legacy. So that authenticity in the workplace is very invaluable for me. And I think that as people become more authentic, and when I say authentic, I mean the things that move and motivate you, being able to acknowledge what they are, to talk about those things in a safe place, and work being even a safe place. And that's a big deal for me because it's not often viewed that way. And so part of the transformation that I'm bringing to my workplace, in addition to the regular skills and progress that we have, is how do we weave in the ability for people to be authentic so that we can, mm-hmm. as a company, do more and achieve more. That's sort of the short term for me. And then longer term, Reggie, is really identifying the new places that this purpose can take me. And I'm really looking forward to this year and the next couple of years helping to define what those new places are. I know that those new places will involve functional families and raising children in functional families and the legacy that comes out of that.
Juwanza, that's so, powerful. That leaves me searching for words that are appropriate to bring to the conversation. You're absolutely right. Authenticity is a great place to start because it requires the acknowledgement of the gifts that you have, and mm-hmm. it gives you the opportunity and the knowledge to plug them into the work that you're doing. I think you're absolutely inspiring to do that. And I frankly feel like you are laying your own legacy of leadership and giving yourself permission and in turn giving others permission to do that in the ways that they develop and engage talent. That's the kind of stuff, Juwanza, that as you do that for yourself and the people that you lead and influence, you know, people will run through a brick wall for you if, you know, they have the opportunity. First of all, and I've seen this happen time and time again, where, you know, just having people acknowledge the uniqueness of who they are, you know, what they represent and what they bring to the table in a compelling way that we then build a strategy around, that's huge. That's absolutely mm-hmm. huge. And I really appreciate, acknowledge and inspire both as a colleague, but more importantly as a friend, to see you unfold in that way. And I look forward to being, you know, a partner as you continue to unfold those new places that this will take you. Thank you so much for coming on. This show is really important to me, and you were the only person I felt was the right person to tell all dimensions of this story, and I appreciate you through all of the challenges that may have sidelined you, you being faithful to coming on. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Outstanding. And in an effort to tee up where we will continue to take this conversation with other clients, I look forward to sharing your story in a way that allows, as you find your forte, allows other people to find their forte, compose their masterpiece, and play your crescendo. I look forward to talking to you all next week. See you then.
Your heart and